This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the names and titles of God. This is the introduction. Well, why should we study the names and titles of God? So that we can toss out fancy Hebrew names? No. So that we can expand our font of knowledge? Not really. The only adequate motivation I know of to undertake a serious study of the names and titles of God is so that we may come to know God better. To know Him more fully is the journey of a lifetime. Knowing God is like carefully examining a diamond, polishing it so that we can peer into it, and then looking at it from all sides and through its many facets, enjoying its colors, being delighted by its sparkles, and learning to appreciate it fully. But God is not a beautiful but lifeless diamond. He is the living God. As we learn His names and meditate on them, we will come to know Him more intimately. We will begin to trust Him more fully, and we will find our hearts drawn ever more passionately to do His will here on earth as it is in heaven. And so I invite you to undertake a journey with me to explore God by means of His names. But exactly what is a name? The word God is a generic noun used to designate a divinity. It is not a name or a title. The Judeo-Christian God really only has one name, Yahweh or Jehovah. We'll explore His name in depth in chapter 3. He has several titles, and beyond titles, many metaphors and descriptors. Let's look at some definitions from the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Name, a word or phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or thing. Let's use Billy Graham as an example. Billy is his first name. Graham is his surname. God's revealed name is Yahweh. Title, an appellation of dignity, honor, distinction, or preeminence attached to a person or family by virtue of rank, office, precedent, privilege, attainment, or lands. When Billy Graham is introduced in public, he is often called Reverend Graham or Dr. Graham. If he had been a pastor, he might have been referred to as Pastor Graham. He might also be titled Evangelist Billy Graham. One of God's titles might be King of Kings. That is, king over all other kings that there might be. Metaphor, a figure of speech in which a word or phrase literally denoting one kind of object or idea is used in place of another to suggest a likeness or analogy between them. For example, God is referred to as a rock scores of times in the Old Testament. God, our rock, is so common in the Bible that rock is used by itself to refer to God in Deuteronomy 32:4. But what about this verse, for example? I'm reading from Isaiah 28:5. In that day the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of His people. Clearly, Yahweh is compared metaphorically to a crown and diadem. But if you were to use the word crown or diadem in a conversation with biblically literate people, few would know that you were referring to God. By no means all metaphors for God become popular terms for God. Descriptor, something as a word or characteristic feature that serves to describe or identify. Many metaphors of God could also be called descriptors. In English, we have several grammatical constructs used to describe nouns. One is an adjectival phrase, a noun together with an adjective modifying it. In Hebrew and Greek, this modifier often appears in the genitive, such as God of mercy. Another is a predicate adjective, an adjective which appears in the position of the predicate, that is, after the verb, but which modifies the subject, such as, God is merciful. This describes a quality of God, but is it a title? Probably not. But if God is addressed in prayer as merciful God, perhaps we should consider it a descriptor. If the phrase is used often enough Perhaps this might even be considered a title, though I doubt it in this case. Well, perhaps this helps you see the fuzzy borders of determining what are the names, titles, metaphors, and descriptors of God. Add to that different translations. So let's not be too dogmatic about precisely which are which. What we're really seeking to know is the God who existed long before any names for him were even needed. Let's look at the documentary hypothesis for a moment. Given the history of Old Testament scholarship over the last century, any discussion of the names of God must consider this documentary hypothesis. Though the traditional view is that Moses was the author of the Pentateuch, since the Enlightenment there has been growing speculation on who the authors were. The most celebrated and complex theory of authorship was advanced by German Old Testament scholar Julius Wellhausen, lived 1844 to 1918, a theory known as the documentary hypothesis. He posited four strands of sources for the Pentateuch, which are abbreviated JEDP. J for Yahwist. E stands for the Elohistic source. Then there D is Deuteronomic source, and P the priestly source. At any rate, as the theory goes, the Yahwist source can be identified by the author's name of Yahweh, or Jehovah for the Lord, and the Elohistic source by El for God. Supposedly, a late but clever editor wove all these strands together into a single narrative. Wellhausen was widely influential, and the theory grew more and more complex and speculative. His theory captivated much of Old Testament scholarship for more than 100 years. These days, however, Wellhausen's JEDP theory is in disarray. R. N. Wybrey commented in 1995 on the state of Pentateuchal studies, quote, "There is, at the present moment, no consensus whatever about when, why, how, or through whom the Pentateuch reached its present form, and opinions about the dates of composition of its various parts differ by more than 500 years. Our focus is on the text that comes down to us in the Bible itself, not on speculative theories of sources." Now let's look at some of the features of this particular study. This study is designed with various kinds of readers in mind. It is written for Christians who are seeking to understand and grow in their faith, though it will be profitable for Jews, Muslims, and seekers. It is meant to be used for personal study, in small group Bible studies and adult classes, as well as the basis for preaching. Here are some of the features: Hebrew and Greek word studies. Rather than relying on previous books about the names of God, I've gone back to the original Hebrew and Greek language and the conclusions of contemporary conservative scholars to determine the meanings of the words as precisely as possible. If you find Hebrew and Greek confusing, you're not alone. Please accept my condolences and just skip it. But for preachers, teachers, and small group leaders, I've included this kind of information, as well as footnoting my sources, so that readers can assess the value of the information and not just pass it along blindly to their listeners. Questions are included at various points in each lesson to help the reader pause and think more deeply. It's too easy for us to read unthoughtfully and assume that we understand what we are reading. The questions are designed to help readers articulate and apply what they are learning to their own lives and growing faith. Each question includes a hyperlink to the Joyful Heart Bible Study Forum, where participants can share their answers to the questions and read what others have written. Songs and hymns are ways that we use the names and character of God in our worship. To help those designing worship services around the names and titles of God, I have tried to include some of the more popular hymns and songs that I could find. My list, of course, is incomplete, so perhaps you'll be able to suggest some other songs. Next, lists of the names and titles of God in each of 11 categories are included, too. I encourage you to try to use these ways of addressing God in your prayers each week of the study. Your prayers will be richer for it, and so will your understanding of the great God whom we serve. artwork and paintings are windows that help us learn about God in a visual way. I've included some paintings that illustrate incidents in which God's names were revealed. For those who are preparing PowerPoint or multimedia presentations, you're welcome to follow the links in my webpage in progress entitled Artwork Relating to Names and Titles of God. Here's how our online study will work. Each Saturday, I'll email you the lesson for the week. Then you'll read the Bible passage and use my notes to help you understand it better. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe Thursday, you'll receive a question from that week's lesson to think about and answer. This is designed as a total immersion approach to Bible study, since I believe God wants to use it to work real and permanent change in our life. You can opt out of the daily questions if you like, however, and just receive the weekly lessons. You'll be thinking about these passages constantly over these 11 weeks, long enough for God to work His Word into your life and lifestyle. You can respond to the questions using the Joyful Heart Bible Study Forum and read others' answers to reinforce your own understanding. With each lesson, you'll receive a link to a 20 to 30 minute audio teaching that sums up the passage you've been studying that week. Some who learn better from hearing than from reading really appreciate this. Then, on Saturday, I'll send you the next week's lesson. Okay, we're about ready to begin. Don't be afraid to stretch yourself and do some things you've never done before. It has been my joy to take this journey with you. Let us pray. Father, guide us as we learn about You through Your names, titles, and metaphors that we find in Your Word. I pray that You would change our lives, energize our faith, and make us more like You in this process. Help us to know You more fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.